Election Day.
Congratulations, said Anita Halleck. Her smile looked forced. Jordan and Aditi were in Boston, where they were watching the election returns on the Otero network from the comfort of the hotel suite that Carlos Otero had personally selected for them. With less than half the votes counted, Halleck had called from her home in Barcelona. She sat alone in what appeared to be a comfortable study, dressed in a stylish ball gown and draped with sparkling jewelry. The room was decked with flowers, yet she seemed far from pleased. "Isn't this a bit premature?" Jordan asked her image. "The voting isn't completed yet." "Oh, you've won," Halleck said, her voice flat and cold. "I should have insisted that you and your wife attend the party here at my home."
"A party?" Aditi asked.
"It's due to start in a few minutes. Champagne for the winners, beer for the losers." Jordan asked, "And which will you be drinking?"
"Champagne," Halleck replied. "I always drink champagne."
"You always win." The beginnings of a real smile touched the corners of her lips.
"Yes. One way or the other."
With a glance at Aditi, Jordan said, "Douglas Stavanger called earlier. He told me that Cellini has offered to build one of the starships we're going to be needing." The tentative smile vanished.
"Yes, he called me too. A very generous offer."
"Too generous to refuse." Her lips curving again, Halleck said,
"I didn't refuse it. Not at all. In fact, I got him to increase his offer. Cellini will refurbish the ship you went to New Earth in."
"For the follow-up mission," Aditi exclaimed.
"Yes.
You can return to your homeworld if you wish."
"I do."
But then she turned to Jordan.
"But that will have to wait, won't it?"
Patting her knee, he answered, "I'm afraid so."
"Too bad," said Halleck. "I had hoped to get rid of you for a while."
"Not so quickly." Halleck sighed.
"Ah, well, one of the principles of politics is to recognize a bandwagon and get on it before it turns into a steamroller that flattens you.
That's called leadership." "You're not going to oppose sending rescue missions to the worlds threatened by the death wave?" Jordan asked.
"It doesn't seem like a practical course to take."
"You've become something of a messiah to the voters."
"Hardly that."
"Close enough."
"You've created a bandwagon.
As the leader of the World Council, I have to climb onto it and guide it to success."
Aditi said, "You have the FTL communications technology."
"True enough. That should help us to weld the communities scattered through the solar system into a unified political system."
"With you at its head," Jordan said.
"With the World Council directing it."
"Don't forget, you'll be a member of that council."
She hesitated a heartbeat, then said, "I won't oppose your crusade to save the alien worlds."
"That's very gracious of you," said Jordan.
"But in return, I need something from you."
"Something? What?"
"Your promise that you will be in favor of my re-election to the council chair when we reconvene next week."
"I have no interest in becoming chairman," said Jordan. Her eyes locked on his, Halleck said icily,
"That's not a promise."
Jordan felt his brows rise.
"I mean it. You can keep your chair. I won't oppose you, as long as you don't oppose the starship program."
Halleck's smile turned genuine.
"Ah, now you're speaking like a politician."
"Quid pro quo," said Jordan. "One hand washes the other." And Jordan realized that he had taken on a whole galaxy of responsibilities. Almost wearily, Halleck pushed herself to her feet. She looked resplendent, imposing, yet discontent, far from joyful.
"Well," she said, "I have guests waiting for me downstairs."
"And champagne."
"Wait," Jordan called. "What's happened to Castiglione? Apparently the British government turned him over to the World Council's Justice Department."
"Rudy," Halleck's expression saddened.
"He's been sent to the penal colony in orbit around Saturn.
We won't see him for a long time."
"Penal colony?" asked Aditi.
Jordan explained. "The habitat orbiting Saturn began as a place to send political misfits, troublemakers. But its people created their own stable government. They've been an independent nation now for more than 200 years, much like Cellini."
Rudy won't be on bread and water, don't worry, Halleck said. He should do quite well for himself out there.
And the other one? Jordan asked. Walt something or other?
Walter Edgerton, Halleck replied. He's been an agent of our security organization for some years. He was released into our custody.
And?
And given an early retirement. I understand he's writing a book, his autobiography. Perhaps your friend Matrenko will publish it digitally. Nick is working for the Otero Network now, said Aditi.
Is he? How nice, Halleck said coolly. Then, you really must excuse me, I have to play the hostess now. And her image winked off.
Aditi stared at the darkened viewer for a moment, then turned to Jordan.
What a strange woman, she said.
Uneasy lies the head that wears a crown, he quoted. Brightening, Aditi said,
But she's agreed to the rescue missions. Let's call Adri and give him the good news.
By all means, said Jordan. But he was thinking, I'll have to work with Halleck and watch my back every step of the way. Strange bedfellows indeed. Then he remembered an old Hungarian proverb. With a Hungarian for a friend, who needs an enemy?